The 7th of January, we have seven games to go through. The return of Zion Williamson, Trae Young hitting a very nice shot to sink the Utah Jazz. A lot of other stuff. Let's get into it. This is the Tuesday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere, everywhere you consume your fantasy basketball content. Please find us, like us, subscribe to us, download us, all of that stuff. We are also part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. Seven games, returning Zion Williamson. He looked pretty good. We'll cover that. Let's jump straight into the games. First game, Phoenix at Charlotte. Phoenix continue to run second game, but continue to run with the new starting lineup, Mason Plumlee. He did play more than last night, which I thought he would. Didn't score, attempted one shot, but had 12 rebounds. I don't know how long this is going to last, to be honest. They lost to Charlotte. Let's just get that out of the way. 115 to 104. So it was a bad loss. Plumlee, I'm not sure of the thought process here. I know he can pass the ball. They can run the offense through him. But I'd argue that Nurkic is just as good, if not better at that than him. And Nurkic certainly has more offensive upside. Maybe it is because they feel they don't need another offensive, someone who needs to score in the starting lineup. But then they also took Beal out and put Dunn in. So really now they just have Durant and Booker. That's it. And it was pretty evident tonight. Durant was pretty good, 26 points. Booker was very good, 39 points. 10 assists. The assist numbers are going to go up a little bit with Bradley Beal not in the starting lineup. But the remainder of the starters combined for 10 points. Ryan Dunn had 6. Tyus Jones had 4. So I'm not sure what they're doing here in Phoenix. It's a bit of a mess. Beal had 10 points in 31 minutes. So the minutes are still fine, but yeah, I mean, there's certainly a world here where this doesn't end well and Bradley Beal is on the way out. Grayson Allen had 3 threes off the bench in 25 minutes. He's sort of a hold. Again, they have 3 more games this week. Ryan Dunn, I'd like to think the same, but he just doesn't do much. So I picked him up in a 14-team league this morning. I'll consider moving him if it was to allow me to move Jordan Poole into my IR spot. I then had an empty spot. I picked up Ryan Dunn. If Poole plays tomorrow, I'll have no issues dropping Dunn and bringing Poole back into my starting lineup. For Charlotte, LaMelo Ball, 32 and 10, but 10 rebounds, not 10 assists. He had 7 assists. He had 4 steals. He had 5 threes. 3 of 5 from the line is a little bit down on what we'd want from him. We'd prefer 4 of 5, but still, numbers are very good here. Brandon Miller, 13 points on 5 of 16 shooting. So not his best night. He had a steal and a block, but good to see him out there healthy and playing big minutes. Miles Bridges, 21, 7 and 3 with 2 steals, 2 threes, 3 of 3 from the line. So a good game for him. Look, a down game for Mark Williams, 9 and 10, 3 assists, 0 blocks, only 22 minutes. Nick Richards had 15 and 12 with 3 blocks in 25 minutes. I'm not thinking that this is a trend or anything like that. It was just Nick Richards was playing well. They were winning. Cody Martin also played 29 minutes in this one. Josh Green only played 13. It was purely let's go with what's working, and that happened to be Cody Martin and Nick Richards. So not too worried about it. Interestingly, though, Nick Smith played 21 minutes. Vasily Micic played 14. And if we scroll down here, we will see that KJ Simpson did not even play. So we're not adding Nick Smith, but he certainly appears to have forced his way into that backup point guard role. So in very deep leagues, if you're looking for a point guard who's going to play 20 minutes a night, he is an option. All right. Game number two, Houston at Washington. Houston get the win pretty comfortably in the end, 135 to 112. For Houston, we got a lot of Amen Thompson, 41 minutes, 20, 15, three steals. Didn't hit a three, but didn't take a three. Perfect from the line. We don't get that very often from Amen Thompson. So another very, very nice performance for him. He's on a roll right now, so love to see it. Dylan Brooks, this is what he does, which is not much a lot of the time. He had 11 points. He had three threes. He's just a streamer. And Cam Whitmore, I streamed him in for points and threes. He got 17 points. He got three threes. He hit both his free throws. He's clearly on the outer here in Houston. I think he would probably appreciate being moved. Despite having no Tari Eason and despite having no Jabari Smith, Jay Sean Tate came off the bench ahead of him. Jeff Green came off the bench ahead of him. Steven Adams came off the bench ahead of him. And Aaron Holiday came off the bench ahead of him. So he was 10th man in the rotation. He ended up playing 18 minutes. But remember, this was a bit of a blowout. So, yeah, I like Cam Whitmore. But if you reading his body language on the bench, on the court, he just looks as though he doesn't want to be out there. And I don't really blame him. Yeah, obviously something has happened here. They don't really trust having him there. So there's some issues, probably better for both him and the team if they go their separate ways. For the Wizards, Kyle Kuzma played 17 minutes and then left, unsurprisingly, with a calf injury. Just move him already, please. He doesn't want to be there. He's not really trying. He had 10 points. He had six rebounds. He's probably a hold, but it's a sad hold. Let's put it that way. Keyshawn George started. He's not bad. He had 27 minutes. He had some defensive stats, 9 points. So he's okay. With all these injuries, with Brogdon out, with Poole out, I don't mind Keyshawn George if he's going to start. Alex Sara would be holding. It was not a good night for him offensively, 1 of 12, 2 points. But he had 9 rebounds. He had a steal and a block. And he played 23 minutes. Valanciunas' minutes went up a little bit here. This was really just because he was matching up better in this one. So I think we probably have to hold Valanciunas. He had been trending down slightly, but then bumped up a little bit here. So if he's going to hover around this 20 to 22-minute range, he's probably a hold. Corey Kispert, one of his patented offensive outbursts, 23 points, 5 of 7 from 3. If you want to try and catch this one before it ends, you could stream him in if you need points and threes. He played better than Champagne, but we could come out in the next game and Champagne has the better game and Kispert does nothing. So it is a bit of a dice throw. LA at Dallas, bad loss for the Lakers. Coming up against Dallas, who are obviously without Luka and without Kyrie Irving. Let's start with the Lakers. Max Christie doing just enough. Hold him, 12 points, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 1 3. Austin Reeves, look, I mean, this line is not terrible, but compared to what he's been doing, it is. 15 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. The 3 steals are nice. Just couldn't hit his shots and teammates weren't hitting their shots. So his assists were down. Anthony Davis also couldn't shoot the ball very well tonight. 7 of 18 from the field. He had 21 and 12 with 2 blocks. So numbers are still fine. He just needs to hit some more shots. Hachimura, this is why he is not a hold. And LeBron, 18, 10 and 8. And there was a pretty crazy dunk from him I'm sure it's on Twitter. If you just search LeBron dunk or something, he switched hands in midair. It was pretty impressive for a 40-year-old. Dorian Finney-Smith, 28 minutes, 11-3. He's getting close. to being someone to consider. If he hovers around 28 to 30 minutes, he should at least be on your watch list. Probably doesn't do enough to be rostered, except in slightly deeper leagues. For Dallas, they did shuffle that starting lineup. We hinted at this in the pregame show. So they brought Spencer Dinwiddie in. They moved Maxi Kleber to the bench. So this is more of a traditional starting lineup. And I think what we should expect to see moving forward, Spencer was much better in this one, 19-6-8 with a steal. So hopefully you held him. Klay Thompson had 13 points, two assists. He hit three threes. He's doing enough, but really hasn't elevated his game like we'd hoped he would with the injuries at the moment. Derek Lively, only 19 minutes, 7-6. Pretty poor from him. We would have wanted more, but they just went smaller here. They went with Maxi Kleber as the center. With his floor spacing, I guess it draws Anthony Davis away from the basket a little bit more, allows the guards to go to work. So I think a bit of a matchup thing here. I'm not obviously not making a move for Kleber or making a move to drop Derek Lively. Najee Marshall, 7-5-2, but he should be rostered. Just not a great game, but close to 30 minutes, he'll be fine. PJ had 22-8 with a steal. He's just going to have to play a lot and do a lot. And yes, I just saw Steve popped in there. Lively was in foul trouble as well. So, we're not concerned about this at all. Quentin Grimes, he looked really good in this one. 23 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, 6 of 11 from 3. So, again, hopefully you've held him. 2 weeks ago, I said we just need to hold him and ride it out. Jaden Hardy has also been decent, 15 points. 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal in 22 minutes. Really just a deeper league guy, though, at the moment. He's not. He'd need to push closer to 30, I think, to be a standard league must add. Minnesota at New Orleans. So the Timberwolves do get the win eventually. It was up and down. New Orleans kept it close. They had to make some runs. Let's start with Minnesota. Jaden McDaniels, he had some defensive contributions, 2 steals and a block. That's about it. That is why he's just a streamer. DiVincenzo started 10-7 with 3 steals. That's probably enough. I think the 7 assists, the 3 steals are nice. If he hits another shot or two, he's up to 14 or 15 points. So that looks fine. Conley had 8-6. I think we can move on from Conley at this point. Rudy Gobert, 7 points, 14 rebounds, 4 assists, 6 blocks. So that's 2 good ones for him in a row. And like I said, it doesn't take much for him to go from a dud to a, I won't say a superstar, but a solid line. And that's what's happened in the last couple of games. Julius Randle, 16-6-3 with 2 steals. Yeah, that's fine for Randle. Again, he's not pretty to watch, but those numbers get it done from a fantasy perspective. Anthony Edwards had 32 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, a lot of threes. So a good game. It's been a good little stretch here for Anthony Edwards. And Naz Reid, he's fine. 13-12 with a block. Keep rolling with him. For New Orleans, Zion returned. 28 minutes, more than I thought he'd play. I thought probably 25 would be the most. He played in short bursts. So they had him, his stints on the court were no longer than about 5 or 6 minutes, I don't think, but he had a few of them. And his numbers were good. He obviously had an impact in this. They lost, but he helped DeJounte get free and get some good looks at the basket. So Zion had 22 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, 1 block, 4 of 9 from the line. Free throws are always an issue with Zion, and coming off an injury, that's not surprising. He will be better than this. But he's probably around, 70%, something like that, if that, 65 maybe. Herb Jones had 10-6-5, no defensive stats, which is a bit of a downer because that is why you roster Herb Jones. Eve Misi, keep an eye on things here with Zion. There was obviously an impact. Misi had 2 points, 9 rebounds and a block. The minutes are still okay. But remember, we've got Trey Murphy to come back in, and we also have Brandon Ingram potentially to come back in. So Misi is probably on the worry list. I'm not dropping him yet, but keep an eye on what goes on here with the playing time. And look, as they get healthier, Brandon Boston, Jeremiah Robinson, Earl, Jordan Hawkins, none of those guys need to be rostered. The only one I'd consider probably is Jose Alvarado. He had 13 points and a steal. He will generally get you 1 to 2 steals per night and can hit a couple of threes. He won't play more than about 20 to 22 minutes, but that's enough for him to have. He's a little bit like TJ McConnell, but without the assists. He gets the threes instead of the assists. But do note that they play tomorrow. Chances are Zion doesn't play. And so if Trey Murphy also doesn't play, we might get more of Eve Misi, a little bit more of Brandon Boston, and a little bit more of Jose Alvarado. So just keep that in mind before you go and drop someone. Atlanta at Utah. Atlanta 124, Utah 121. Good game, very entertaining. Not surprisingly, neither team likes to play defense. It was high scoring. The last quarter was fun, a lot of fun to watch. The Hawks get the win on a Trae Young, I don't know what the distance is, but a half-court buzzer beater. 2.9 seconds after Colin Sexton hit a broken play three-pointer to tie it up. So those last few seconds were pretty pretty epic, and Dyson Daniels actually almost got a steal to stop that play, and it sort of fumbled around and ended up with Colin Sexton. Let's start with Reese Shea. He had 14 and 6. With Johnson out, he's okay as a streamer, but that's about it. Veet Krejci had 13, 4 and 1. I'd actually prefer Krejci. If Krejci was playing more minutes, I'd take him, but neither have to be rostered here. Clint Capela was much better than Okongwu tonight. He had 18 and 6 with 3 blocks. Trae Young, as I said, he hit that buzzer beater, but he also had a very nice fantasy evening for us. 24 points, 20 assists, no steals, but he got a block, 9 of 10 from the line, 3 three-pointers. So 20 assists, very nice indeed. Dyson Daniels, very good, continues to be very good. 16, 6 and 7 with 2 steals and 2 blocks. Shot the ball well. That's always a bit of a guessing game with how well he's going to shoot the ball, but 7 of 12. And didn't get to the line, so it didn't hurt you from the line. Bogdan, I thought, looked a little bit better in this one. Hit a couple of threes late, 11 points, 3 assists. Still not someone I think we need to roster, but do monitor him because we know he can push back into must-roster territory pretty quickly. DeAndre Hunter had 17 points. Not much else. That's what we get from DeAndre Hunter. The 3 of 5 from the line is not ideal, but we keep holding Hunter. Okongwu, 2 points. He had 4 blocks and 9 rebounds. Just wasn't in it offensively. I'd still rather him over Capela, but both, I think, should probably be rostered. And Garrison Matthews is just a 3-point streamer. For Utah, Markkanen, very nice game for him. 8 threes, 35 points. 2 steals, 1 block. So when he's healthy, when he's playing, he puts up numbers like this, but he could very well miss the next game with a back, this back ongoing thing that's happening. Johnny Juzang had 11 points. He had 3 threes if you streamed him in for threes. Walker Kessler, 21 and 10 with 3 blocks. He was very good down the stretch. He had, I think there was a period there where he scored 8 points straight. So a nice offensive game for him. Sexton, also a nice offensive game. He had 24 points with 3 assists. Isaiah Collier, we've talked about him offensively, very raw, 1 of 6 for 3 points, but he had 9 assists. He didn't get any steals here, but he was up in passing lanes getting deflections. So the steals, I feel like for him, they will come. Not adding him. I'm watching him in deeper leagues. If you just need assists and potentially steals, I think he's okay. But do remember Keyonte George will come back at some point. Clarkson is out for another couple of weeks. Paddy Mills, he had 3 threes off the bench. I love to see Paddy doing stuff. 3 steals. We're not adding Paddy Mills. And Filipowski, who had played pretty good minutes, played 17. Even with Bryce Sensabaugh out, they went with more of Cody Williams. If this is going to be what they do here, mixing and matching with Potter, Filipowski, Williams, Sensabaugh, J. Johnny Juzang, then I just think we can ignore the situation altogether. Miami at Golden State. Good win for the Heat, bad loss for the Warriors. For the Heat, still no Jimmy Butler, obviously. Jaime Jaquez started. He had 18 points, but no defensive stats, which is probably the opposite of why you streamed him in. You would have streamed him in for some steals and then maybe rebounds, assists. He got 5 rebounds, 1 assist. So the points are nice. You didn't get much else. Haywood Highsmith, I was going to stream him in and I didn't, and I'm glad I didn't. 5 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, but he's not involved enough. They're just such a poor-looking team. I know the win is really good here. Bam Adebayo had 19, 9, and 5 with 2 steals and a block. Rozier continues to stink it up. 9 points, I think he's a hold, but maybe he's not. Tyler Hero, not his best night either. To get a win when Tyler Hero scores 14 points on 14 shot attempts is good and sort of tells you how bad the other team was. It was Jovic here who had 20 off the bench. If you streamed him in, well done. He could go back to doing nothing. This is similar situation to Utah. We're just going to get Highsmith, Jaquez, Rozier. Rozier's probably not in this bunch, but Jovic, Burks, Duncan Robinson, all one night they could play 30, then they could go back to 18. So it makes streaming pretty hard. Duncan Robinson had 4 threes if you streamed him in. Alec Burks had 11 points. So take your pick. If you want to stream them and it's a favourable schedule, go ahead, but I don't think any of them are guarantees. For the Warriors, Steph Curry was really their only good player. Trayce Jackson-Davis was better in this one, 19 and 7 with 2 steals and a block. This is why he's a hold, quite clearly. Draymond Green, he did his thing, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, no steals or blocks, but that's okay, hold him. Hold Wiggins, pretty poor from him, but as I said, this was just a really bad performance. Dennis Schroeder, please, we just move on, don't we, at this point? 5 points, 7 assists are fine, but yeah, move on. Buddy Hield, 11 points, maybe a step in the right direction, 24 minutes. I'm not buying it yet. If you want to grab him and see if this turns into a few games, go ahead, but not for me. And Boston at Denver. Boston pull away late, 118 to 106. No Derek White in this one, so Al Horford moved into the starting lineup. He hit 3 threes. He had 9 points, 4 steals. You can stream him in when they have someone out, but when they're fully healthy, no point. Don't need to talk about Tatum, Porzingis. Jaylen Brown was a bit quiet, but still fine. Drew Holiday, actually a nice game for Drew Holiday with 19 and 7. 2 steals. He is just a hold, just. But of course, Derek White was out here. So when he comes back, that takes a little bit off Drew Holiday's plate. Peyton Pritchard, this is a buy low. If you think that he can sort of get back to what he was doing early in the season, then now is the time. I don't know if he'll be dropped. I would keep an eye on waivers just in case. In 10-team leagues, some 12s, he might be dropped. And I would add him. I don't think we get back to top 50, whatever he was doing in that first month, but he'll definitely be better than this. He had 3 points, by the way, 4 assists and a steal. Sam Hauser had 3 threes, and he is just a 3-point streamer. For Denver, Michael Porter started this game really well and cooled off late, just couldn't hit a shot down the stretch. He had 15 and 10. Christian Brown, 12, 4 and 2 with a steal. He's a little bit... Tamani Kamara, Max Christie, they're all in that group, I think, who of guys that do just enough every night to, if you were to drop them and stream consistently, you'd probably get more value, but they do just enough, I think, to warrant holding. Saric replaced Jokic and unsurprisingly did absolutely nothing. Westbrook continues to play very well. 26, and the turnovers, let's ignore the 8 turnovers, but 26, 9, and 6 with a steal and a block. He hit his free throws. He had four threes. So kudos to him. The last couple of years he's looked, I won't say washed, but certainly on the way down, and he's managed to turn things around this season, which is good. Peyton Watson had one of his better games, 14 and 4 with four blocks and a steal. This is what we thought he would do when Aaron Gordon went down, and he just hasn't. If he was dropped and you want to try and get ahead of this, go and give Peyton Watson a look. Gordon is close, though, so we may only get another one or two games of Peyton Watson. And Julian Strouther had 19 points. This is what he can do. He can score points in a bunch. This was more to do with Jokic being out. Saric only played 17 minutes, so they just had to rely on Watson and Strouther a bit more. And we even got 20 minutes of DeAndre Jordan, and we do not need to look at DeAndre Jordan. All right, that's all the games. Let's have a look at some questions. I'll have a drink first. Okay. Are we selling Zion? You could try. Selling for J-Dub? Yep, I would take J-Dub over Zion. I don't know if you'd be able to pull it off, but you could give it a look. Correct, Chad. The fact that Nurk and Beal were disasters doesn't help. So, yeah, they're not going to go back on this and go back to the old starting five. They're not like Steve Kerr, who makes all these elaborate changes for one game and then changes it again. I think they will stick with this, but, yeah, it's not looking good. Can a man be top 30 rest of season? I guess he could. I don't think he will be. And rest of season, I mean, you have to think about Tari Eason is, there are reports he will be back for the next game on Thursday. That will impact Amen Thompson. I don't think he's taking his role or anything like that. But yeah, I do think that him coming back will impact things. And Jabari Smith, it appears, or there's chatter that he's going to get away with this without surgery. I'm not sure how that impacts his return time or anything like that, but he will come back at some point. So rest of season, I don't know. But for the next month, he'll be good. Top 30 is, as I said, best case, but I don't think he'll be top 30. Is he a high field goal percentage? He is, yes. Yes, field goal percentage is a strength of his because he doesn't shoot a lot of threes and his athleticism is ridiculous. So when he gets to the basket, he gets up there and he gets up there quickly. Do I think they start him rest of season? Not when Jabari's back. I think they'll go back to Jabari, but when Tari's back, they'll leave him in there. So he should be a starter for at least the next month. If you see a must roster player in the waiver wire, but they don't fit your categories across the board, would you take them over a worse player who does fit? I don't know. There's a lot of layers to a question like that. Generally not, unless you think you could trade that player. If you think you could grab a better player overall off the waiver wire, hold them for a week and then try and move them for someone that fits, then yes. But if it's usually when you're streaming players for two categories, maybe one, that fit your build. Like if I'm punting points and threes, I'm not going to stream Grayson Allen, for example. I have a lot of teams where I'm punting guard stats. So I don't go and look at players that are going to add assists or anything like that. Even though I might think, hey, this guy could be top 100 for the next 2 weeks. If he doesn't fit my build, he's not a top 100 player in my build. But if I can get someone like a Brandon Clark who might get six rebounds, he might get me a steal and a block and go 3 of 4 from the field, he's probably a top 70 player in my build. I'll take him. counting down the days until we get a Shams shock that KD wants to go back to OKC. We'll see. Suns aren't trending very well. Okay, so Lone Dez tried the offers for Reeves, but he's got Zion and Cam Johnson coming back. Yeah. Well, Cam Johnson will be, I hope he's back. Yeah, and you don't always pull those trades off. It's not always doable, but you try. All you can do is try. What do I think IQ's stats are going to be? Hoping to trade Randall for him earlier in the season pays. So you traded Randall to get him. Okay. What do I think his stats will be? It's a tough one because we've just seen such a small sample size of what he looks like on this team with everyone healthy. I still think borderline top 50. I'd say if I had to roughly sort of round some numbers, I'd go 19 and 7 with a steal and 3 threes. Percentages won't be great, but they never have been for him. Free throws will be good. And he does actually get to the line a bit too. So what his free throws are good, but his volume is decent enough that it has a good impact as well. So also a pretty low turnover guy for a guard, if that matters. Is a men a sell high or a hold? He's a sell high if you could get a top 30 player for him. I don't think anyone's going to give you a third rounder or a second rounder. But if you can, I probably would. I'm just holding him everywhere though. Saar with the weak ruining line. Yes, he. What are you? 1 of 12. Is that what he was? Where are we? Washington. Yes, 1 of 12. Nice. If the Rockets get Fox, is a men one of the Kings they get back, or if a men stays in Houston, they acquire Fox to the herd. If I was Houston, there's no way I'd be moving Amen Thompson, even to get De'Aaron Fox. I don't even know why they want Fox, to be honest. But, yeah, I would not be moving Amen. If Amen stays and they still get Fox, does it hurt Amen's upside? It does depend who else goes and who comes back and all that sort of stuff. If Fox was simply coming in for Van Fleet, then it probably affects him a little bit because Fox is obviously a much better offensive player. Defensively, pretty comparable, I think. I don't think they're going to get Van Fleet. Again, I don't know why they would look to get Fox here, but maybe they will. So I don't know. I mean, it's all hypothetical at this point. Yes, this was the Grimes we thought could break out. That's right. It was good to see, too. I've got him in so many leagues that I need him to do something. Feels like Grimes and Bones are the type of players that if given time and a consistent starting role, they'd blow up like IQ. Look, I think Grimes has a lot of upside. I'm not sure he has the playmaking upside of Quickly. Bones, if you mean Bones Highland, I'm not so sure. I think we've had a good enough look at Bones to know that he's not that good. Denver moved him for a reason, and then the Clippers have barely played him. So it's not like he's a guy forcing his way into the rotation. What have we got? Yes, they were. Miami is the worst shooting, three-point shooting team. Yeah, they're pretty bad. How would I rank these centers in 9-cat? Claxton, Mark Williams, Rudy Gobert, DeAndre Ayton. I don't know if I'm the right person to be asking about Ayton. If we're just looking at general rank, if we were to say what is their rank going to be at the end of the season, and assuming health, every level playing field, then I'd have Mark Williams first. Then I'd probably have Ayton, Gobert, Claxton, I think. Gobert's so up and down. Mark Williams would definitely be my first if we're just assuming they're healthy, not shut down, anything like that. Ayton, just because he's Ayton, he puts up numbers. And then probably Gobert, then Claxton. What do I think about offering Maxi for Harden? You have Maxi, punt field goal, and you own Kawhi too. I mean, I guess the benefit of having Kawhi and Harden is if Kawhi rests or anything, Harden gets a small bump and vice versa. Maxi for Harden. In terms of rank, who is better? I think Maxi is probably better, but Harden is safer in a way because of the assists. So for me, if you wanted to look at these two guys, they're both point guards, obviously. It would probably come down to points or assists. If you need points, I'd go Maxi. If you need assists, I'd go Harden. I think they're pretty comparable. Disappointing of Jordan. Is Darwin, Australia, technically part of the Outback? Yeah, it is. Yep. It is on the coast. It is right up the top of Australia, but it's still the Outback. Everywhere up in that area is the Outback. Does Jabari Smith come back during the fantasy playoffs? What are we? Yeah, I think he will be. Pending the other Golden State games this week, if Wiggins has a couple more stinkers like today, would I drop him if I desperately need to win my week? Oh, you could. His upside is not super high. He's probably top 80. And he'll be better. Like today was just bad all around. So you could. I don't think it's going to break your team or anything like that, but I would probably try and hold him. Board games and puzzles on the shelving. Yes, I have moved into a separate room of the house rather than just out in the living space. So it means I get a little bit more privacy and clothes in the background, obviously, because it was raining here today. I might put posters up I wanted to get a shelf behind me and put, stuff on it, just stuff that I like. But, yeah, getting a shelf there behind me is going to be really hard. But I might be able to get some posters and put them on the doors or something, just so I've got something behind me rather than the side of board games and three doors. We don't know the future, but do I have a personal prediction, gut feeling of a major player moving at the trade deadline? Major. I mean, Brandon Ingram still comes to mind. Bradley Beal. Jimmy Butler is the obvious one because he's said he wants to be traded and they've said they are willing to trade him. So he is the biggest one, I think. Beal is probably on the way out. I'm not sure about LaVine. I would have said LaVine, but the Bulls have been okay, and we know that the Bulls have this weird mindset of getting into the play-in is good enough kind of thing. So, yeah, LaVine, I'm not sure. I hope we get some big players on the move, but, they'd be the ones that I'd consider. Jabari Smith due back around 22nd of February. Yeah, that's... It was 4 to 8 weeks, so that's where I'm not sure if this no surgery thing might mean he's back. And 22nd of February, by the way, is basically when we're back after the All-Star game. So that's when I think they will aim to get him back on the court is after the All-Star break. Would I be surprised if they keep Amen starting the rest of the way? I'd be surprised, I think, because I think he might start. Jabari might come back off the bench initially, but I think they would like to get Jabari in there starting because we did see moments earlier in the season when both were healthy and Amen Thompson started, played really well. Jabari Smith really wasn't doing much, but they stuck with Jabari Smith. And he does space the floor. Amen can space the floor, but Jabari Smith is a little better at that. But I do think that if Amen keeps playing like this, they keep winning games, that even if Jabari starts, they will try to get Amen to 30 minutes where they weren't previously. Yes, Chad, that was the Hornets' second win since Thanksgiving. Their first since December the 8th or something, I think it was. This background gives me a more natural look. There you go. Don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Vooch could be moved. And we know that if he's moved and the center doesn't come back, Jalen Smith becomes a rosterable player. Is Amen better than Jabari? I think he is, but he's different. He is different. They are winning with Amen, but they were also winning with Jabari. So, yeah, it's... Like I said, I think Jabari will still start, but I do think that if Amen can have a sustained period here where he is playing as a starter and producing and helping them win, that they find a way to get him to 30 minutes rather than 24, which is what he was doing when Smith was there. So, yeah, I think his role should increase, whether that's off the bench or starting. So his floor will raise up. And that'll do. That will do. That will do. For today's show, there will be a pregame show in the morning, as per normal. I might do a mailbag show, probably not tonight, but I always get lots of questions in the shows. I like answering questions. So maybe I'll just do a show dedicated to questions, and knowing my luck, I'll do the show and get no questions, and then I'll just have to talk about Vegemite for 45 minutes. And movies. We could talk about movies. But there will be a pregame show tomorrow and maybe a mailbag show. I'll talk to someone. Someone will come on the show with me. I don't want to answer questions by myself. So, yes, keep an eye out for that. Of course, I've got the trade talk show coming up on Friday afternoon, wherever you are, Saturday morning for me with Michael Waterloo. So I will tweet out something about that. Dan Besperus and I have our trade deadline show coming up in about a month. So you can go and pre-like that. I think he's trying to get to 1,000 pre-likes. And I've got, where is it here? Oh, here he is. I told Matty G that I would keep promoting his fantasy shirts. So go to the Insight Fantasy websites or web store if you wanted to buy a shirt. They are pretty cool, but that's enough plugging from me. Thank you everyone for listening. Please go and download, please like all of that stuff. As always, I will be back tomorrow. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.